What an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Martin Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined tonight by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And joining us for this week's show, we've got Matty Roper.
Good evening.
Are you guys both well?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate.
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
So I realised that it was pointed out to me today that the 72 show has been running a year today. It was the first episode a year ago today with Matty was on it and Nick and me. So yeah, it's been a year of the 72 show. I hope everyone's enjoyed it.
1 year of enjoyment, yeah. I've really enjoyed it. Fantastic guests, including the fantastic Coventry family got on to this evening. So no, really enjoying it. And yeah, thank you to all our listeners for keeping it running, really.
I appreciate that, Nick, to be honest.
Fantastic. Well, I'm a nice person.
No, obviously, the few times I've been on, I've probably been on about 15 or 20 times or so. And yeah, it's always great fun, knowledgeable people. And yeah, again, thanks to anyone that's listened in. Obviously, when I've been on throughout the rest of the year as well.
We've really enjoyed
it. The Middlesbrough fans probably don't agree, though, after their anger that we didn't mention them enough last year.
I'm not mentioning them at all this year. I'm sure they prefer that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they would rather not be on the 72 show playing Man United away.
I'm sure we can mention Coventry later in the show tonight as well, as Matty's on the show. Alright, just to start off with, I just want to talk, just a few FA Cup replays this week. I guess the two big stories both came from non-league. Lincoln beating Ipswich 1-0 and a win for Sutton as well, beating a 10-man Wimbledon 3-1. Two fantastic wins for non-league sides.
Yeah, I think the Lincoln-Ipswich game really shows what the Cup's all about. So, no, people love to say it's lost its magic. It's lost its magic. You only have to look at that replay, look at the how much it meant to Lincoln, how much it meant to everyone in the audience, what a crowd it was. I know it was helped largely about the fact it was a tribute to Graham Taylor, but what a Cup game, I thought. And even also gives a bit of credit to what a replay can do as well, obviously on a cold Tuesday night, getting the full crowd out. And I thought that really was just a classic FA Cup title on Tuesday night between Lincoln and Ipswich. I know it was on TV as well, but Wimbledon Sutton as well, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Both non-league teams.
Yeah, as I watched the Lincoln game, obviously at half-time, I was thinking Lincoln could do this here. And I actually told my mate that they'd make it 1-0. Didn't put a bet on that. One that was new. So, yeah, delighted to see them win it right at the desk. Ipswich were falling, weren't they? Really, really poor. That's just Sutton, obviously, the Coventry fan. Would be a main, but yeah, big win for them as well. So, two non-league clubs in support around, so brilliant stuff.
Well, I thought Lincoln played like the football league team, in all honesty, and Ipswich looked like the non-league team. I mean, Ipswich, they just couldn't string passes together. They were going long when they got a chance. And in all honesty, Lincoln just were up for it more and played the much better football.
Well, it's put Mick McCarthy under pressure, hasn't it, talking about Ipswich? I know he was saying, if they want to sack me, so be it. And he, you know, I don't know if it's a serious threat or not.
Well, you have to look at it. I mean, I'd probably say he's taken them as far as he went a few years ago when they got to the playoffs. And, they're mid-table company. I mean, they probably could still get the playoffs. I mean, it's unlikely. But they're, 11 points behind Sheffield Wednesday, so it's unlikely.
A couple of other stories from the FA Cup as well. Blackpool beat Barnsley 2-1, obviously. Barnsley in the Championship, Blackpool in League 2. And a fantastic result, that. You know, very unexpected. And again, nicking it in the last minute, extra time, 120th minute winner. But yeah, I guess I don't think either of you would have predicted that.
No, probably not. No, to be honest with you, obviously Blackpool are in a bit of disarray after 2-1. Everybody knows that. And it came as a surprise, really. But the thing I'm not really too surprised about is that probably to see Samuel's got the winner, because to be fair, I've seen him, he's played against us in Coventry a couple of times. And I can't remember who he's playing for now. I think it must have been Blackpool, wasn't it? Not a bad little player, but man, another big win, obviously. But it's just, again, it's a shame to see Blackpool where they are in terms of league football.
Mm-hmm. And then Plymouth were unlucky as well to go out against Liverpool, losing 1-0. Liverpool missed the penalty in the game, but I thought, I watched that myself, and I thought they always had a chance, especially with Liverpool playing such a young team and bringing off good players, you know, their top players for young, more kids. I thought Plymouth were in it all the way through, and you know, there was a big chance he missed after 70 odd minutes as well.
I thought Plymouth gave a really, really good account of themselves there, and made the whole football club really proud. I thought they were outstanding. I thought over two legs of Anfield, brilliant defensively wise. And I thought even in home park they played well. Obviously Liverpool just had that class, that slightly bit more class and that bit more resilient at the back. But I think overall Plymouth will be delighted with how they've done. And now, above all, they've had a great tie at Liverpool. And I think it's actually worked out pretty well for them because they can concentrate on, obviously, the number one objective for the start of the season to get promoted to League One.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, the FA Cup games are all not this weekend, the following weekend coming up. So I'm sure we'll look forward to the fourth round of that. We'll move on to the Championship and talk. I want to start off talking about Norwich because I know their manager Alex Neil's still under pressure. I know when we spoke before Christmas he was, but it's not really improved for Norwich. They're now mid-table at the weekend, losing 2-1 to bottom club Rotherham, which I don't think anyone would have predicted. Down to 10 men with Nelson Oliveira sent off, but is there any chance Alex Neil will still be in a job, you know, this time in a couple of weeks?
Well, they're sticking by him, aren't they? I mean, he's thought they've done it by now. I can't believe that he's, after losing to Rotherham, who weren't even at full strength. Let's get this right. And I don't know how he's still in a job.
No, I was going to say they were flying a lot earlier on in the season, weren't they? I was keeping them to at least get playoffs really. And now I think they're about 9 points off, I think. Something like that, or 8 points off playoffs, which obviously isn't unattainable, but it's not brilliant, is it? And their form's been awful. And to lose against Rotherham, no disrespect to them, isn't brilliant. They've really, really struggled this season. So, yeah, I think a couple more losses and I think he's out of the job. Obviously, I think they're away to Wolves this weekend. Not an easy, or home to Wolves, sorry. Not an easy fixture either. Mm-hmm. A lot of pressure on him.
A couple of other weekend results. Brighton lost 2-0 to Preston, so which allowed Newcastle to go top of the league. Any thoughts on that game, Nick?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we're not going to win every game in the Championship. Let's get this straight. We're not going to win every game. Preston's a really tough place to go. They're ninth in the league, 6 points of the playoffs, and they're on a good run of form. I thought they played really well against Arsenal last week. So I think the defeat had to come eventually. It's come. And I think it doesn't matter at all. It's how we bounce back from it.
Mm-hmm.
will be the issue. Obviously, really tough game on a Friday night against Sheffield Wednesday.
Mm.
And we just need to make sure, obviously, the players are up for it. And we put on a show. I think we're going to get a massive crowd at the Amex. So
yeah,
as I say, it's just from getting the 3 points.
Yeah, first loss since September that for Brighton. So it's been a while.
As I said, we can't win it all. I mean, three defeats. I think it's consistency. I think it's 3-2-0 defeats. So, still being consistent.
The other side at the top, Newcastle, Daryl Murphy got a late winner against Brentford, but there's talk that Mike Ashley is getting more involved in the transfers and interfering, which I'm sure Rafa Benitez won't be happy with.
I think in January, yeah. I mean, you've got, you get that a bit in January, don't you, Chems? I think they're so eager for to get promoted, especially with the money you've got these days. They almost want to pick their players. They want to just go out there and sort of do their own research. When, however, that could also cause problems. You've seen that over the years. I think Derby's a prime example of that. Signing players willy-nilly, it doesn't necessarily work out. I think that's when you've really got to trust your manager, the players that they want to fit in their system, the players they know, the scouting. I think that's when problems could lie ahead if they go and pick, not saying bad players, but players that won't necessarily fit the style of play. I think, and you really just need to, especially with a manager Rafa Benitez caliber, you've really just got to stand by and trust him and let him do all the work on that regard.
Yeah, Daryl Murphy scored the winner for Newcastle against Brentford. I saw on Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports. He was criticised on there. He was called useless before scoring that goal, and he's scored a couple lately. I think he scored in the FA Cup as well.
Yeah, he hasn't sort of done as well as.
Honestly, yeah, he's a decent player, to be fair. I know that on the scene is a bit of a strange signing, given the fact they've got one game and season and North Wales pushing in that area. It's going to be difficult for him to get games really, but yeah, I wouldn't quite say he's useless. I'd definitely pick him in Coventry, put it that way.
Also, Leeds beat Derby 1-0, another goal for Chris Wood. Are they a club that could get in the top two?
I think absolutely. And that now, obviously, they're breathing down our necks now. Leeds are, and they played very well on Thursday night. I still think it's a mixture of both. Leeds are brilliant. I thought Derby very poor. But Leeds are looking strong in all areas of the park. I'm very sorry at the back. Got a great defensive record. I think they haven't conceded at Elland Road since the start of November, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think they're doing very well. And they've got goals going forward. Chris Wood scoring goals. I can't pronounce his name. Duarte scoring goals as well. And they're very good at keeping the ball in the middle with Bridcut there as well. So they're looking strong all over the pitch. And I think they're looking a very good bet for promotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just talk about a club at the bottom of the table, Nottingham Forest. They've sacked their coach, Philip Montagnier. The 20th in the table at the moment. Do you think it was the right decision?
I think absolutely. It's not going right in the league. I mean, they're what, they're 3 points off the relegation zone. A club that big, budget they've got and everything, but they should not be in that position in the league. And they've made a lot of poor decisions over the years, Forrest. And we've obviously had the Forrest lad on about a month ago, and he was sort of reiterating that it's just beginning every year. It's just sort of they're not even looking forward to seeing how they'll do this season. I think 100% their decision hasn't really worked out at all. But I think they need to go for a. They need to really think about the next appointment because they've got it wrong a lot, haven't they? Really, I think the only one it was sort of working out well for was like Sean O'Driscoll. He did okay, then he got harshly sacked and went a bit almost downhill from there. So I think they really need to think about they really need to think about who they're going to get in. I think Gary Rowett would be an awesome appointment.
Yeah, he was in the odds. I was just looking at Nigel Pearson's joint favourite. Billy Davis is in the frame. Gary Rowett as well. So
I think Rowett would be your safest bet.
Mm. Whether he's too good for a club like Forest would be my thinking.
Well, that's very true. I mean, he might even hold out for a Premier League job or high-end championship. But if they can get him, Gary Rowett. But if not, I think Pearson would be. Obviously, he didn't do too well at Derby. But I think he would love to go to Forest, and then obviously I think the sort of script writes itself really there, doesn't it? But no, I think if they can get one of them two in, as I say, they just need to really carefully think about the decision and not rush into it. And then I think they're a big club, they've got some good players there, and I think they just need to think about this decision because, as I say, if they make it wrong, then it could even, dare I say, they could even drop into League One.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I feel sorry for Forest. Like, obviously, as a Coventry fan, I know about off-field situations and whatnot. And they're in a bit of a mess, aren't they, really? Obviously, the ownership takeover didn't go through. I'm not going to say too much about Forest, but he's not the best bloke to be running a football club, I could say, probably, allegedly, anyway. I won't get myself into trouble. I know a lot of Forest fans that are literally disgusted. They've sent him open letters, all sorts of stuff. And it's just horrible to see. What is a massive club? Well, don't forget they won the European Cup, 20th in the Championship, and potentially in League One next season. Which, if they do go down, if the off-field situation continues, I don't know if they'll concentrate back up. And I just don't want them to be like us, basically. I don't want them to be like us at Coventry and end up potentially going down again. And yeah, I don't know. I really feel sorry for their fans at the minute, to be honest with you.
Just finally. Callum Connolly scored twice for Wigan. He's come on loan from Everton. He scored twice in his debut for Wigan to beat Burton 2-0, which is a massive result at the bottom of the table for both clubs, really.
Yeah, huge win for Wigan there. Really drags Burton right into the mix of it. I think who's going to go down, I think it's too early to tell. I still think, obviously, Rotherham are looking like the definite. Apart from that, I think it's anyone's game, really. Again, all you've got to do is say he's got a good run of form, keep your eye on, they've really pulled away from it. But in that token, you could go on a really bad run, and you've seen Forest, they've dropped right into it. So I think at this stage of the season, there's a lot of clubs to still tie. I think January transfer window will be key. They've already proven that, getting a player of that class in, and they can win your games. And so he certainly did that on a Saturday, and what were 100% a six-pointer.
All right, we'll go on to League One. Start with Bury. I know we were... They were on their massive losing streak, but they finally won a game at the weekend. 4 goals for James Vaughan, and Bury finally win.
Yeah, it was very much a result that annoyed me, to be honest. Because obviously we lost at Coventry anyway, which we'll probably go into in a minute, but all the teams around us managed to win, and that was probably the one that I didn't think would happen, especially a 5-1 scoreline. So that really caught me off guard, to be honest. But Bury are a really hard side. Like, I know they're 20th in the division, but I think they've got a lot of quality there, and I honestly don't know what's happened to them. I think that they've got a few decent players. Obviously James Ward is a very decent striker on his day. He proved that the other day. And I honestly don't know why they're not performing at a higher level than 20th in League One. Should be at least mid-table, but they're really struggling. But yeah, finally a win for them.
Jermaine Pennant's come in today as well. He's joined Barry.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with Matty there. Yeah, no, it's I think it's and we said at the start of the season that they could be a good team to look out for. So it's just that bad run of form. They kill us. We really documented losing. And it can really just play our players' minds, and it clearly has done there. And now they've got this win, it'll be interesting to see if they can climb the table. Obviously, I think promotion's off the cards. Well, mind you, we did see that last year with Barnsley. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were at this stage of the season last year in the bottom four, and they ended up getting them promoted. So obviously, you've got Crowley. Obviously, realistically, it's probably not going to happen, but never say never. But if they can win and move up the table, then they'll get a fair effect of where they probably should be in the league. As James Vaughan on his day, he's always been scoring goals in the Championship over the years with Birmingham, Huddersfield, and he's a good striker. And I think, as I say, I think if they can get him scoring goals, they'll be absolutely fine staying up.
Yeah. Gary Coldwell's in at Chesterfield. He's joined. He's replaced Danny Wilson. I think Gary Coldwell's quite a good appointment. Did well at Wigan last year.
Yeah, it's as I say, someone who knows the league well. Still a young manager, so they've got that to which is a bit of a bonus. And you can even say harshly done at Wigan. Obviously, maybe not given enough time in the Championship, but certainly knows this league well. He did fantastic at Wigan last year, and a good appointment there. Good club to work with, but obviously in a very, very sticky situation. I think they've got a good win on a good 6 points to win on against Coventry on Saturday, so they just need to really kick on from there.
Yeah, well, we'll stick with that. Well, what did you see the game? What did you make of Coventry, Matty?
Yeah, I went along, obviously, away at the Pro-Act, and it was an awful game to us, isn't it? I think it was just a typical relegation dogfight kind of fixture. I think first half was probably the worst in terms of quality of football that I've seen for about 2 or 3 years, and that's saying something given I watch commentary around the country. So it was just kick and chase really first half, and then at that point we looked in it, and second half we never really woke up, and good goal winning the game, but it was poor defending from us, and yeah, another loss. We've only won 4 games this season, one of them being away from home, which was actually a really good performance by Port Vale. But yeah, we were very, very poor. And it's quite worrying because the 2 games beforehand against Peterborough and Bolton, we drew both, but last minute equalised from the opposition, so we should have really won those 2. So we went from playing really well against 2 very decent teams to not even showing up against, again, no disrespect to Chesterfield, but quite a poor side. And honestly, sometimes football, but I hope.
Is there any hope for Coventry being a League One side next season?
There is. Well, obviously, we're only 4 points off safety at the minute, which isn't exactly massive. At least we're not rather in the Championship trying to fork out about another 8 or 9 points or something like that. But it's just, I don't know, Slade's had a few decent experience signings so far in the window. But if we can keep hold of our players that we currently are, maybe add a few more passes, then there's a chance. But we've got to play a damn sight better than we did against Chesterfield. If we can replicate the performances against Bolton and Peterborough, but not concede in the 94th minute, then we might be able to get the point.
It's very tight at the top of the league as well as the bottom. Sheffield United, top of the table, they lost. They'd won 6 games in a row, but lost 4-1 to Walsall at the weekend. I saw it's their 3rd defeat against Walsall this season. But yeah, 6 wins in a row, which has been broken, and it makes the top of the table very, very tight.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. As I say, a bit like similar to what we said with Brighton earlier, it's got to come to an end sometime. You're running up and win them all. But full credit to Walsall. Obviously not doing as well as they did last season in the mid-table, but they've shown up and they've battered Sheffield United off the park, really. And so full credit to Walsall. As for Sheffield United, I don't think there'll be too many alarm bells again. It'll just be the case of hope they can pick themselves up for the next game. But yeah, you're right, very tight there. Scunthorpe really on their toes still. And full credit to Scunthorpe. I mean, you compare budgets and everything in both clubs. Scunthorpe sandwich in the middle there between Sheffield United and Bolton. And I think a lot of credit's got to go to Scunthorpe where they are in the table. And I think when it comes to sort of when you get all the, at the end of the season, managers of the year and everything, I think the Scunthorpe manager, he's really got to be recognised for the job he's done.
Yeah. Well, they beat Northampton 2-1 at the weekend. I know the story was really about Northampton with Justin Edinburgh coming in. He watched it from the stand. Rob Page sacked, obviously. He lost 9 of his last 11 games. And I guess he started off quite brightly, I thought. Northampton were, you know, playoffs, sort of just outside playoffs sort of area. And they've just struggled since in almost the second part of this season so far.
Yeah, I think with Northampton, what it was, they just kept that fantastic run down from League Two last year into League One, hit a bit of a divot, and they haven't really recovered since. So they probably made the right timing so they don't do a sort of bury and fall into a relegation dogfight. But Justin Edinburgh, a good manager, he's done okay during them before, obviously, it's not going quite right there. But no, he's still young, still got good knowledge of the Football League as well. I think it could work out there at Northampton. I think obviously his main idea would be to stop the rot. And then obviously generally try and recruit some players and sort of help them push up the table.
Mm-hmm. And as for Fleetwood, they've gone 13 games unbeaten now, and they're up to sixth in the table. They beat Bristol Rovers 3-1 the weekend, another team on the up.
Yeah, UA Rosters doing a great job there. And yeah, Fleetwood, a club obviously they've been dying for promotions, obviously very well backed by a wealthy owner. And yeah, they're into the playoffs now, and they'll be very delighted where they are. They've got a great manager in UA Rossler there. I think expectations will be high for the rest of the season. David Ball, great player. I mean, he's really starting to look settled as well at Fleetwood. And he's a great striker, and I think if they got him, they can keep him fit at the end of the season. They'll be certainly up there at the end of the season. Whereas Bristol Rovers, obviously, they're still in a healthy position, ninth in the league. Again, they don't want to be too disheartened by this result. But I think the key with Bristol Rovers is a bit of inconsistency. I mean, some weeks they're trouncing opposition out of beat Northampton 5-0. The next week they keep sort of suffering defeats. They lost 4-1 at Charlton on Bank Holiday Monday, losing 3-1 against Fleetwood on Saturday. So I think Bristol Rovers need to sort out a bit of consistency if they're to get promoted.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the top of the table, Matty?
Pretty surprising, really, to be honest with you. Obviously, Sheffield United first, the team that I said would win the league this year, purely because the budget they have and just the resources they've got, really. But we said that last year, and obviously it didn't quite happen. But Scunthorpe as well, I said they'll finish probably playoffs, sort of section on the table. Because, again, they're another side. Their squad's just fantastic, really, for this division. I think they've got a lot of players there that have been there for a number of years now, so adding a couple of faces, it wasn't too difficult for them to gel, whereas a lot of teams in this division have massive turnovers in the summer, and then it's hard to really compete. Again, going back to Coventry, every single season we're changing about 15 players. It just isn't good, really, if you want to try and succeed. So, but then obviously you've got Bolton and Bradford as well. Rochdale, impressive. And then, like you just said, Fleetwood, and we're playing them this weekend. And they've picked up the same amount of points in their last 9 games as we have in 26. That's a good stat.
That's a good stat. I just want to talk about Oldham as well, finally. There's quite a bit going on there. John Sheridan's come back for the third time to Oldham to play Stephen Robinson. They beat Gillingham 1-0 at the weekend. So good start to his third attempt there.
They say never go back twice. don't know what they say about going back a third time, but no, yeah, he's clearly trusted by the board. Both times he's done a solid job there. And the predicament they're in, they need to get, I think it could actually be a very sensible appointment. They need someone who knows the club first and foremost. And they obviously need someone who knows how to keep teams up, and he's done that in his career, John has. But they've got a really big tough, because there's a lot of teams there who are obviously picking up wins. And there's a lot of good clubs around as well at the bottom end of the table, which I think is credit to League One. I think the standard of League One's got is a very good standard this year. And I think they need to, for the first time, they need to win, probably get recruit correct players in over January. I think he's got a big tough job in his hands, but you never know, if you just keep winning, they should be okay.
Well, they're out of the transfer embargo now, which is good news for
them. Exactly, yeah, big news for them.
Just as a little aside, they've got a rearranged game against Peterborough, which was called off because of the pitch, I believe pitch flooding or something. But they've made the entry free for the game next Tuesday as well, so might have to pop along and have a look at that. All right, we'll move on to League Two. Just start with Dave Jones. He's come in at Hartlepool with Hignett leaving, mutual consent. He's come in as manager. You got any thoughts on him?
Yeah, sure. Save Hartlepool. It was it's okay. They've gone a bit of a dodgy run, struggling at the in League Two, and they probably did need to make a change. As for Jones, yeah, he's obviously a big name for Hartlepool. And someone I didn't really expect. I actually really took me by surprise. Full credit to him. He's done a very good job at Jersey. Very experienced. And I think it could be a good appointment for them. He'll probably be itching to get back into it, Dave. I think it could work out. I think the club will very take to him. Obviously, they've got a big name in, and I think he'll enjoy it there. It's Hartlepool. It's a nice little club there, Hartlepool. Obviously struggling. We saw over the years they've had a few dodges, and they've proven over the years they've got spirit at Hartlepool. So that absolutely remarkable season when Ronnie Moore kept them up. If they can just get a few wins to stop them to slipping into the relegation battle, I think they'll be fine. So they've got a good manager there. First and foremost, I think his aim will be to keep them up this year.
Mm-hmm. Another managerial change. There was a lot of madness going on with John Sheridan at Notts County, but Kevin Nolan's took over there as he's now player manager. Drew 0-0 against Mansfield. Again, Notts County, it's a big job to keep them up, and it's an interesting appointment making him player manager.
Well, I agree. It's a strange one.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big bold choice. Saw Orient again, probably not given enough time. We know what's going on behind the scenes at Orient, not very good. But I think, 1 point off the relegation zone. A young manager coming in, you have to say it's a lot of pressure on him to keep them up. As I said, they've got an okay squad there, but there's going to be a lot. Obviously, there's only two teams that go down in League Two. He's got a big fight in his hand. I'm sure he'll love it if he can stay up, and then obviously send Orion down. I'm sure he'll be his dream of looking there. But no, he's got a big, certainly a big big test on his hands. As I say, that it's young managers coming into these fights, they really need to certainly more to get the players on side, get the fans on side, and I think he's got a big challenge ahead of him.
Well, Alan Smith was a caretaker manager, wasn't he, for a bit, the former United and Leeds striker as well, which I thought was something to see as well. You mentioned Leighton Orient about possibly sending them down. They look in some trouble off the field with quite a few of their players being transfer listed. Apparently their owner wants rid, and he doesn't seem to know what he's doing, really. We've had a couple of managerial changes, brought in sacked Hessenhaler earlier in the season, and Cavasin also sacked, and I guess there's a big chance of them going down.
It's just another one, isn't it, on a long list of clubs that have run horrendously poorly. It's not nice to see. I've been Orient a few times, nice little club. They're really struggling. Hopefully they stay up, but I think they'll be thinking about other things that are more important really to them. I know that sounds a bit stupid, but I think there's rumours circulating on Twitter, whether they're true or not, probably not, that the club's going to cease to exist soon. So fingers crossed that that's a load of rubbish. Because, they're a decent club, but really, really struggling.
Well, I saw betting was suspended on one site about the on them to be relegated this season. So.
Well, that's another club I really do worry about. It's not nice to see, we've said it over the course of the season, that they're run by idiots, and there's too many clubs these days being run by idiots. It's not fair on the supporters of the club. And you've got old clubs, old former players come out and tweet their displeasure about it. So Gary Alexander, who's been on the show before, come out and said obviously a lot of stuff, and it's not nice to see. And I just pray to God they can stay up, because then hopefully you start again next season. Hopefully some people know what they're doing. But for now, they've got to make do what it is, and just hope the players can, for the fans' sake, can keep them up.
Yeah, another club as well struggling, Newport, who are at bottom of the league. I know they had a good start under Graham Westley, but they've lost. I think they lost the seven or eight games in a row. They lost seven games, sorry, in a row before drawing Colchester at the weekend. But I know he's come out and he's had a go about the Rodney Parade ground. They've got a 10-year deal there to stay there, but with all the games being postponed and stuff, you know, it's clearly not good enough, is it?
No, it's not. As I say, I think that recently he's labelled the pitch as a disgrace. Mm. And yeah, it's. I think they've, as I said, they've got to sort that out more than they're probably at the end of the season. But I think they're 6 points in the relegation. I think they're licking up the dead certs, which is a shame. They've got a good manager in Graham Westley. I still think if they do drop out, probably they need to keep stand by him. So I think he'll be a man to bring them back up. But until the end of the season, all they can do is just keep, keep battling and try and put up a stake. So 6 points can easily be overturned. I think they just, so they can't give up, afford to give up. They're certainly not as bad as, say, Rotherham are in. I think they just need to, as I say, just keep their heads up with all the players. And I think they can maybe put up something, but say that first and foremost, obviously, it's not going well with the pitch and everything. But obviously, teams won't look forward to going there and playing on it. So they can try and even, in a way, kind of use it to their advantage.
Yeah, a couple of wins at the top of the table. Doncaster beating Barnet 3-1 and Plymouth also getting a win 4-2, a 4-2 victory. Is it a two-horse race for the title?
I don't think so quite yet. Obviously, those two are the strongest teams in the division, and they've shown that so far. But obviously, a team like massive fan base, they've still got a chance. Only 6 points behind Plymouth. Carlisle as well in third. So I think it's still wide open. Probably between those four, I think Wycombe are just maybe a little bit off the pace, but. No, I think, to be fair, I think the strength in depth that Doncaster have, they should go on and win it. But I think for second spot and third spot, then it's pretty much wide open, I think, from anywhere from Plymouth down to Portsmouth. So, entertaining league always, isn't it? They could always.
Yeah. And again, at Portsmouth, Connor Chaplin scored twice for them, and he should have had a hat trick but missed the penalty. As they're fourth in the league.
I think with the promotion notice, it's going to be Doncaster or Plymouth. I think that's good news for Plymouth that they actually dropped out of the cup, because I think gives them full energy to focus on the league. Two good sides, and I think two sides that are well on their way though to promotion, and two good sides that deserve to get back to League One, the big clubs. I think they'll be fine for the rest of the season. Then you've obviously got that one spot where it's going to be very tight. It looks like Carlisle or Portsmouth battling out. Keith Carr, as I say, has done an absolutely outstanding job. And I think he deserves the. I'd love to see Keith Gold get promoted with Carlisle. As I say, I think he's done well on his long unbeaten runs. He's scored on beats. He's done it. The definition of giving a manager time. So it didn't start too well there, but he's got a settled squad there now. And they're playing some great football. I'd love to see Keith Cole get promoted with Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. Just final thing I want to mention, David Artells took over at Crewe. They lost their first game, 2-1 against Luton.
Yeah, obviously again, stuff going off the pitch of Crewe this season, but with Steve Davis obviously leaving and David Artells. No, it could be, again, Crewe have always they've recruited him within, so he obviously knows the club. He knows the club well, and they're not in a dangerous position of getting relegated. So, no, I think fair call credit to Crewe for giving it manager a chance, and I think you've just got to give him time. We've seen over the years, Crewe they've been very good, giving people time there, bringing in youngsters, and as I say, I think that could I think this has the making of a good appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I say, they've got Doncaster, whatever. Anything up there, then fans are certainly start to want to, you'd feel. Mm. So, yeah, good luck to them, really. Again, another decent club. So, like I said, they're not in too much trouble. I don't think they'll end up going down. So, hopefully, this is kind of a season where they can just reflect and then next season push on for a return to League One, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I'll just just to want to talk about the EFL trophy, which I know we've been very critical of. We've got we're at the quarterfinal stage, and one academy team's made the quarterfinals in Swansea, the Swansea Academy. I want to ask Matty, are you excited for Coventry? Because they've drawn Coventry in the cup. Are you excited for that, for playing the Swansea under 23s in the cup?
Am I excited to play against Swansea's kids? No, not really. But I'm glad we've got to a quarter final, and it's one of them. Obviously, none of us have taken it too seriously, but it's just been a chance for some of our fringe players and younger lads ourselves to play. I think when we beat Brighton's under 21s, whatever it was, for Rico the other week.
Yeah,
3-0. I think the average age of our squad must have been the same or even lower than theirs. So it's just a situation where we're in as a club. So it's a good test for the young lads, to be fair. So I'm not going to be going for that one. It's too far to go on a Tuesday night from uni anyway, never mind about it being a part of the competition. But it's just good to say that Coventry City in a quarter final.
It's been some poor attendances all the way through the competition, and you say about taking it seriously, it's a joke as well that teams which don't take it so seriously, there's been all the fines, hasn't there, for playing a weakened side?
Yeah, and the fines are ludicrous as well, because these Premier League so-called B teams or whatever they are can get away with as many changes they want, and yet clubs like us that have got stretched resources, limited resources, thin squads, can't make more than, I don't know how many it is, I think it's 3 or something ridiculous, and you have to play 7 of the last 11, it's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams in League 1 and 2 have been fined for it, haven't they? But to be honest, fair play, so I've never agreed with that anyway. As a manager, you've got a squad, why can't you make 8 changes?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I just find it ridiculous, to be honest.
If anyone's interested, the rest of the draws are Mansfield play Wickham, Oxford United versus Bradford, and Luton v Yeovil. I'm sure once we get to, say, the semi-finals final, it might be taken a bit more seriously, you know, because it's to win a cup competition, but...
No, not at all. Don't get me wrong. If we got to the final, I'd probably end up going to Wembley just to say I watched Cobb at Wembley. But I wouldn't exactly be going there with any major, oh, come on, lad, I'll just be there.
Yeah. But it's a good thing it's not to play Swansea under 23s in the final, I suppose.
That's the thing.
Do you reckon it would not get a big crowd at Wembley?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I can't. It's difficult to try and imagine, isn't it? Like, what if? Well, two academy sides got to the final, let alone one.
The attendance would be about
100. Probably just put them all in one section of the stadium.
Yeah, put them on one row.
Just to finish, there's just a few transfer rumours, sort of potential transfers I want to mention. There's Henry Lansbury at Forest. He's being strongly linked with a move to Villa. I know Derby had a bid rejected for him earlier in the window, and with all the ownership thing, they thought that potentially that could have forced a deal through. But now it looks like he's joining Villa.
Yeah, certainly give Villa more strength. Obviously, they're 13th in the league, but I think, yeah, that'd be a great signing for them. Him, Jedinak, and him and Jedinak in the middle there, that would be a good pairing. But no, they're fitting them in the lead. They want to make some big signs this soon, and that would be a great sign for them.
Mm-hmm. Tom Ince as well might be moving to Newcastle. According to papers, £8 million move. Do you think he'd be a good signing for Newcastle?
Yeah, he would be, I think. Obviously, Derby is not there. I think Newcastle, after some exciting wide players, they've got Richie. I think with him and Richie on the wings, that would be a very frightening pair. Would Derby want to sell him? Probably not, given they're only 5 points off the playoffs, and so they want to get there themselves. And you wouldn't really want to start dismantling your great goal.
Uh-huh. Are there any transfers so far which have caught your eye in particular? Obviously, we can't really mention all of them, but is there anything in particular?
It's quite a funny one that you probably wouldn't know about. It's a loan signing that Yeovil made today. And it just made me laugh. Andre Wright from West Brom, he was at Coventry earlier in the season, and he signed for Yeovil on loan. And before he's even played the game, the deal's been kind of, well, forgotten really. They took him back because of a breach of rules. He can't play for more than, I think, two or three clubs in a season. So before he's even wore a Yeovil shirt, he got to go back. So that's just made me laugh.
Well, you just think, stuff like that. It makes me laugh that you're getting people are paid to be secretaries of clubs. And you, for professional clubs, you just think they would easily be able to just highlight that sort of thing. But it takes 2 seconds to sort of deal out. You just think that it's a simple rule that they'll be able to work that out. But
you think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What do you even make of that rule? Because personally, I don't really understand it in a way, because it's kind of him doing his progress. So don't get wrong.
I think it's a bit of a stupid rule.
I think,
if he can go out and play football for Yeovil for 6 months, or just sit for West Brom's under 23, then. But
exactly.
Anyone in particular who's caught your eye, Nick, transfer-wise?
I don't actually know, to be honest. I haven't seen too many major players being linked. I will say then, as the answer, my Brighton link with Robbie Keane, drawing us on loan till the end of the season. I think that's what we really need. I mean, going forward, we're okay. I mean, I think we're okay on numbers. You'd like to think, though, just to get us over the line and get, especially with Derby getting Nugent, you'd like to get an experienced striker on loan, just in case, God forbid, anything happens to Glenn Murray. Then you're only relying on Hammond and Bulldog, and that's a bit light. So, striker and loner, so would be my thing. But, Robbie King with us would be a good signing. Obviously, he's played at the highest of levels. Obviously, unattached now after finishing America. I think that's the major one I've seen stand out. I swear I've seen another one with Fulham, but I can't put my finger on it.
There's been the story about Chris Martin at Fulham.
They're
not allowed to because there's no recall clause. But McLaren wants him back.
I've seen one actually. Wolves want Ben Marshall from Blackburn. Obviously, I know he's been sort of linked away from Blackburn for a while. He's very close to joining us, I think, at the start of last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great signing for Wolves. Obviously, they signed on Biden from Derby today as well.
Yeah.
But then would Blackburn want to sell him? They can't keep certain players. Blackburn, I mean, they're still in a situation where they can stay, but they really want to lose one of their best players. When they're obviously already in the relegation zone as it is. Final one, Scott Hogan as well, I think with West Ham. I think he'll be fantastic for West Ham in the Premier League. Fantastic on the last man, Scott Hogan. And it'd be great to see him get a chance in the Premier League with a fantastic club in West Ham. But whether Brentford would want to sell, I don't know.
Well, he's been linked with the German League as well. Is it Leipzig?
Yeah, I saw that. The one that Ollie Burke went to,
So there's a possibility. It'd be nice to see him go abroad, actually, I think, maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah, better for development, I think.
Yeah, so... just a couple I want to finish with. Cheick Keita, he's a left-back. He's probably not very well-known by many listeners, but he's meant to be a good prospect. He's a French left-back. He's joined Birmingham. And there's a couple of Premier League players joining League One clubs on loan. Keshi Anderson... who's very... I've played with him on FIFA a few times. He's very fast on that. I don't know much else about him. But he's joined Northampton on loan from Palace. And Man United fullback Joe Riley has joined Sheffield United, also on loan.
Yeah, so that's a good sign. And he's... Joe Riley's played in the Capital One Cup, I think, a couple of times. I think if you can get players from... I think if you're a club in League One, if you can get players on loan from the highest of clubs in Man United, and etc., it gives the change room a bit of confidence as well, and then the club can recruit these sort of players. And again, he can pass on some sort of knowledge to fellow youngsters as well around the club. Obviously, what he might learn at, say, Man United Academy, which players might have not learned at Sheffield United Academy. And obviously, they just have that extra bit of class where you like to think they have that extra bit of class, whether it's a bit of class at the back, a class in the middle of the park, or a bit of class in front of goal. So I think they can be sort of confident boosters to the whole club, really.
Mm-hmm. Thiago Ilori also has joined Reading. Sorry, go on, Matty.
One I'd like to add as well is one we made, I forgot, on loan from Derby, and he's centre half, and his name makes up for it, even if he doesn't have a great time with it. His name's Farren Rawson or something like that. I don't know how you say it. But signed him on loan from Derby. He was at Rotherham for a couple of years, I think, and they seem to like him, so fingers crossed. He can come and help us get out of the crap, really. He said he's one of them defenders that's willing to put his body on the line and stick his head in front of boots. So that's exactly what we need, so fingers crossed. I'll try and say it again. Farren Rawson can lead us to safety, fingers crossed.
I think we'll leave it there unless there's anything else anyone would like to mention.
I can't think of anything, mate.
You can check us out on Twitter. It's at V2Football. Check out our website, v2football.com as well. You can follow Matty on Twitter at m_roper96. I'll put a link in the description.
And
Nick Davey, if you want. And you can follow me at Antonthology if you really want. thanks for joining us on our 1 year anniversary of the 72 show. It's been a pleasure hosting, and a pleasure to be joined by Nick and Matt. And good night.
Good night.